you happy to be on the firing line tonight? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Good to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham said God didn't call us to a picnic. He called us to a battle. Amen. Want to announce, Lord willing, we will be having a baptismal Sunday evening, December the 17th. So I want to remember that in prayer. And we got a couple of prayer requests came in. I want to remember Sister Angela's son, Isaiah. He's sick with a fever. And Brother Trevor and his family, they're traveling home this evening. So I want to remember them in prayer. I want to continue to remember Brother Mike Eplin in prayer for just a touch from the Lord, that the Lord will move on the scene, just heal him completely. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Lee, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? We serve a prayer answering God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
So bow our heads. Father, we just come before you tonight just asking you for mercy and your grace, Lord. For Lord, there's nothing we could do, Lord, to help any situation. But Lord, you know the answer, Lord. It lays there, Lord Jesus, before we even ask or even wrote anything down, Lord. Father, you know every hand, every heart that comes before you, Lord. Father, you know the needs of your little bride around the globe. Father, not just here, but Lord, around the world, Lord. You know all about the situations they're in. Lord, we just commit all of them to you, Lord, asking that you just touch and heal and deliver, Lord. Encourage and strengthen those that need it, Father. Lord, however you see fit to do it, Lord, just do it in your own way. God, we ask that you would just bless us to continue the service tonight, Lord. Bless Brother Nathan. Help him, Lord, to step out of the way that you can minister to each and every heart and every need tonight. God, we just give you all the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Why don't we try this evening?
Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It's that old-time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it, and it's good enough. Good enough for me. It was good. Keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. I can feel it in my soul. And it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Amen. Why don't we give him a hand clap of praise?
Good that he's here this evening, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Makes it all worth it. Let's sing this little chorus as Brother Nathan prepares to come.
Well, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Well, there's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking up the Grand Ole Highway and I'm telling everywhere I go.
Try this one tonight. Oh, they were gathered in an upper room, all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Power for service came. Now what he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Church, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm God, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learned be, nor boast of worldly fame, we have all received our Pentecost. cross, baptized in Jesus' name. And we're telling them both far and wide His power, it's yet the same. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Thank God tonight I'm so glad I can. This fire that fell at Pentecost, it cleansed and made them clean. Oh, it's burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm blessing. It'll cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing. It'll keep your soul on flame. Within my heart, oh, glory to His name. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Up, Brother Nathan, I'm one of them. That baptism in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, they were gathered in that upper room all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Our poor service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do tonight the same. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. By God's grace, I'm one of them. Amen. Are you happy tonight to be identified as one of them? Amen. God bless you richly tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis. 12 years ago today, God gave me the greatest thing He could give me outside of salvation. Amen. It's our anniversary today. And Brother Joshua's birthday today. And we celebrated. Some people go to the Bahamas, some people go down to Mexico, some people go different places, but we celebrated it in church, and it's been a good anniversary so far. All right. Amen. God's good. Genesis chapter 4, and want to begin with verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look into your word tonight, I ask that you would just be with us. Lord, give us wisdom and strength. I ask you just to come on the scene. Lord, help me to get myself out of the way. Lord, so that I could speak something that would be of a help to your people. Lord, just touch me, I pray. Lord, you know what I'm facing with my voice, and just ask that you be with me in that aspect. Father, just move on the scene, open up my vocal cords to be able to express this in the way that I would like to, Father. Lord, we just come together tonight to worship you and to praise you, to give you glory and honor. Lord, what a privilege it is to come together to worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, with every breath that we have, with every voice that we have, Lord, we want to lift up our voice to you and give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, as David said in the Psalms, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we recognize tonight that if we don't have breath in our bodies, that gives us an excuse not to praise you. But as long as we have breath in our bodies, we should be able to praise you, Father. Everything that hath breath, Father, may it give praise and glory and honor to you tonight. Lord, may we do it to the best of our ability. Lord, if there's others that slack off and they don't want to praise you, they don't want to believe you, they don't want to thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done. Lord, your prophet said, St. Paul, he said, would unbelief hinder God? He said, God forbid. The plan of God will go right on ahead anyhow. But Lord, while I have breath in my body, I want to use it to praise you, Lord.
All right.
I want to use it to bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord, we just worship you tonight. We thank you for the many things that you've done, the things that we continue to see you do. Lord, and even the things that you're doing in the background that maybe we can't see visibly with our eyes, but yet you're doing them anyhow for our good and for your glory. Lord, we just thank you tonight. Lord, we're so unworthy for how you've blessed us, but we thank you. Lord, just be in the continuation of this service. Take complete control. Lord, just be with each person in divine presence. Lord, may you just give them encouragement, give them a special touch from you. May they go home tonight feeling better physically, spiritually, mentally, Lord, in every way than they was when they came in. Lord, may we just lay aside all of our weights and all of our burdens and all of the sins that would beset us. Lord, may we just cling to the cross tonight. Yes. Lord, may we go out of here refreshed tonight, Lord, and just in an atmosphere of worship, in an atmosphere of praise, Lord. Be with every song that's sang, every word that's spoken. May it be pleasing unto you, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. That's what David said. That's how he felt about it. That's how I feel about it today.
Right.
Amen. It's good to be in church. It's good to have a place to come. You know, there's people overseas in different countries. They you know, don't hardly have any place to meet. Some of them meet under trees. Some of them meet in buildings that there's just a foundation and a roof and not any walls, not any air condition, not any heat. And they gather around. They still worship the Lord as best as they can in that type of facility. But we're blessed tonight. Maybe it was a little too hot for you when you came in. Maybe it was a little too cold for you. Maybe the music was a little too loud, or maybe it wasn't loud enough. But we've got a place to come and worship that's got four walls and a roof and thermostat to control the heat and volume control and all kinds of wonderful things that God has blessed us with. We're blessed many times more than we realize. And it seems like the more God blesses us, the more picky we get. You know, when people was back in the 1800s, you know, they didn't have an option. They didn't complain as much probably about the heat or the cold as we do. But now we can control it. And the husband and wife argue and bicker back and forth about it. They didn't have that problem before they invented the thermostat, you know.
Right.
And, you know, when they was traveling down the road with their ox and their mule or their horse or whatever it was, you know, they didn't complain probably as much as we do when the shocks get a little worn and the car gets a little bumpier than it used to be. And you know, we just have all kinds of complaints. This doesn't work the way that it should, and that doesn't work. And everything's instant push button this and push button that. And yet it seems like with all that, you think of all the time that we've saved from when they was back in the 1800s and they had to scrub on a washboard and they had to go down to the stream to get the water and bring it in, didn't have a faucet to go turn on. You think we'd have so much time to spend with God and talk to God with all this time that we've saved, and we spend so much time pushing buttons, it seems like we haven't got any time left for him.
Oh my.
Oh my. Well, we might pick that back up again Easter a little bit more, but that's not my sermon tonight. That's just a byline, you know, just something briefly that was for free tonight. But we looked at this scripture, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10, and Cain and Abel come together to worship. And, you know, they had no doubt, these young men, I don't know exactly how old that they were, Many times we think of them as very young men, but it wasn't necessarily that way, because when the curse is put on Cain, we recognize that his complaint to God was that if he was going to go out and have this curse upon him, that every man would seek to slay his life. And so God placed a covenant on him that any man that slayed Cain would be worse off than he was. And so he goes out. So there must have been somebody besides just him and Abel, or when he killed Abel, he wouldn't have had too much to worry about. So apparently Adam and Eve had been around and produced enough children. There's different historians claim they had different amounts of children. Some say 50, some say 80, different numbers that they think they had. But I'm sure they had a lot of children. The Bible said multiply and replenish the earth. And by this time, maybe some of them had begun to spread out to different areas. And Cain's fear was, once word of his reputation began to spread, that one of these descendants of Adam would come to kill him. And we recognize that they had been around at least long enough to develop their own idea of religion, to develop their own doctrine. And Cain believed one thing and Abel believed another. You can imagine, back that far, there was only one family and they still were divided over doctrine, Brother Hoover. We look around sometimes and we think, oh my, some of the brothers, this one goes to this church in their family, and this one goes to that church, and this one goes to that church, and this one over here, and that one over there. And you think, well, some people come and they say, well, how on earth, what do you all talk about at Thanksgiving and things, but they fellowship around the things they can agree upon, I hope. But, even back there in the very beginning, one family, and they were still divided over doctrinal differences, and they came, and they worshiped different ways, they had different preferences of styles of worship and styles of altar, and none of that was a problem to God. What became a problem was their sacrifice that they made. And Cain by intellectual conception, he had heard the story of the tree of knowledge and the tree of evil, and so he thinks in his mind, I'm going to get some nice fruit, some of the first fruits, and I'm going to go and offer it and make a sacrifice. And he comes and he begins to make a sacrifice there at his altar. But Abel, by revelation, recognized that it took the shedding of blood to remit sin. Amen. And so he comes and with this little lamb, and he begins to sacrifice. And it was their differences at the altar, their differences in their sacrifice, that made the difference. Now, it wasn't so much their preference. Maybe Cain liked this style of music a little better, and maybe Abel liked that style of music a little better. Maybe this one liked this type of worship a little better, and that one, maybe one of them shouted and the other one just kind of raised his hands and cried. It wasn't any of that that really made the difference. It was their sacrifice that made the difference. Amen. One was sacrificing through an intellectual conception of the fruits of his hand, and the other one was recognizing that it took innocent blood, the shedding of innocent Amen. Blood, to come and atone for his sins. And so as they go along, Cain begins to get jealous of Abel's sacrifice. Not because he thought it was better. In fact, in his own thinking, he didn't want to be associated anything to do with that, but because God showed respect to Abel's sacrifice, but he didn't show respect to Cain's sacrifice. And God said, if you do well as well, won't you be rewarded? But he couldn't humble himself to come and sacrifice in the way that his brother did. So he rises up in jealousy and he slays his brother. When he does this, God comes along and meets with him. I don't know exactly in what form he met with him. I know in the Garden of Eden, he would walk with them down through the Garden of Eden in a theophany body, and he was right there visibly where they could speak to him. But after the separation, when they were drove from the Garden of Eden, God didn't really converse with men exactly that way again that we have record of in the Bible, until he came and spoke to Abraham in the plains of Mamre as Melchizedek. But he speaks to Cain in some way. I don't know if he sent an angel, I don't know if he sent a messenger, if he spoke to him in a dream, if he spoke to his heart, if he spoke to him audibly. I don't know how he spoke to him exactly, but he speaks to Cain and he says, "Where is your brother?" Mm-hmm. Sometimes he speaks to us through our own conscience, right. And many times we try to push that off and ignore it and do like Cain did. Oh, am I my brother's keeper? Lord, is that really my duty? That's somebody else's job, that's somebody else's responsibility. But what are you going to do about it? He asks. Amen. And so he speaks to Cain, he says, "Where is your brother Abel? And he says, I'm my brother's keeper. Now he's beginning to lie directly to God's face. He says he doesn't know where he's at. Now, when God came in the Garden of Eden and he spoke to the serpent and he spoke to Eve and he spoke to Adam, even though here they were caught in the very first sin that had happened on earth, Brother Branham tells us that sin actually started in heaven when Lucifer had begun by unbelief and by his own pride had begun to try to lift himself up higher than God, and he wanted to be worshiped as God, that he had convinced some of the angels. Some of them were created without an option, without a choice. Others were created on free moral agency where they could choose, and he speaks to some of these angels with a choice, and he says, listen, why don't you come over here? I've got a better way. I've got a bigger church. I've got a better way of doing it. I've got a prettier way and a better way, and he convinces these angels to come a different way than what God had provided. When he does this, Brother Branham said that's where sin started, back in heaven. But the first time we see it on earth is when Adam and Eve and the serpent here get tangled up in this adulterous situation, and God comes and begins to deal with them directly about it. And when he does, they admit that they're wrong. They admit, you know, this is why I did it. And now, so they tried to pass the buck a little bit and say, well, this one said this and this one said that, but none of them lied directly to God's face, not even the serpent. But when Cain, this offspring of the serpent, comes and God begins to try to correct him, he lies to God's face. And he says, I don't know where my brother is. Am I my brother's keeper? And God says, you know what? You may say that and you may make all kinds of claims with your lips, but I hear the blood of righteous Abel crying to me from the earth.
Right.
I want to speak to you tonight with the help of the Lord on the blood speaks. The blood speaks. Now, we find many years later down in Egypt, or in the land of Goshen there beside Egypt, there was a prophet by the name of Moses that had a group of people following him. And God spoke to him after all these plagues and all these warnings to Pharaoh and all that they had went through. And he had been commissioned to come down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But Pharaoh refused after plague, after plague, after sign, and after the voice behind the sign that went forth, a creative voice to speak things into existence, plagues and fleas and all kinds of miracles and things in the way of plagues that came, to be able to stick his hand into his bosom and bring it out with leprosy, and then to put it back in as a sign of divine healing and bring it back out completely healed, to be able to take an inanimate object of a stick and throw it on the ground and it become a serpent, and then to pick it back up and it become an inanimate object again. He had seen all these things, but yet he refused to obey the voice of God through the mouth of Moses the prophet. And so finally the last plague was going to strike, and it was death. And Brother Branham teaches us in the Church Age book that the last plague that'll strike the church is spiritual death. So we find that as this plague begins to go through, God provides an atonement. Now, God is always specific in his ways of doing things. I love that. When he told Noah, he said, go build an ark. He didn't just say, go out and build a boat, but he gave him the specific dimensions to do it so that it could be prepared in the way that was necessary for God's plan. When Jesus went out to the grave of Lazarus, he didn't just say, rise, but he said, Lazarus, come forth. He had to be specific in his wording of this, Brother Branham said, or all those that were in the grave would have come forth. But he was specific about his intent and his purpose, and he worded these things very specifically. And so when God says that the death angel is going to come through, if he would have just sent the death angel through without an atonement, without a token to be placed, then the death angel would have just killed all of the firstborn. But there was an atonement that he gave them of the shedding of blood, and he said, you take that shed blood and you take the hyssop, it'd be like a sagebrush or something like that, that they would take as a plant, and they would take the dried out plant and they would dip it into this blood, and they would take it and paint it over the doorposts,
right,
on the posts and the door, so that the angel could recognize as he passed through. Now, there had been many homes that had heard the voice of Moses. Even many of the Egyptian families had heard the voice of Moses.
Right.
Pharaoh had heard the voice of Moses.
Right.
But it wasn't the voice of Moses, and I don't want to scare you tonight, but just hold with me for a little bit here. It wasn't the voice of Moses that the death angel was looking for when he passed by. I want to say tonight there are many people that have walked away and have left the message and absolutely make fun of it and try to find the prophet and say that he made falsehoods and did all kinds of things, that they will still sit and listen to the same prophet that you do. And you can hear his voice in their homes, I'm sure, if you drive by and listen closely enough. But they're not listening with the intent to gain something from it, but they're listening with the intent to try to find fault and to try to prove something wrong about it. So it wasn't the voice of Moses so much that the death angel was looking for, but what he was listening for was the voice of the blood. And when he went by and he saw these houses, the blood still spoke in the days of Egypt as a token and as a covenant between God and man, that when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Many of the Egyptian homes, maybe even many of the Israelite homes, had heard the voice of Moses, and that was good. But unless they obeyed the voice of Moses and went on into the token that he had told them that they had to be identified with, hearing the voice of Moses didn't do them any good, except it just condemned them at the day of the judgment. There'll be multitudes of people around the message and out in the Pentecostal realms, thousands upon thousands that sat in meetings and saw more than what you and I saw. There'll be many Pentecostal preachers that would sit there and see God come and visit us through the form of a prophet and speak to people when Brother Branham had no idea what was wrong with them.
Right.
And he'd say, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Right.
Pray for me tonight.
All right.
He'd say, I don't know what's wrong with you. And then he'd turn right around and say, this is your address. And this is your name.
Right.
This is your parents' name. This is your neighbor's name.
Right.
That was more than the intellectual knowledge of a man.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You just bear with me tonight. Boo devil.
Amen.
He doesn't like this, so he's trying to keep me from it. But you just pray me through it.
All right.
It was more than the intellects of a man. The intellectual knowledge of William Branham didn't know where these people lived.
Right.
He'd never met them before. He'd never seen them before.
Amen.
He didn't know their address. He didn't know their parents' name. He didn't know anything about them. And he would stand there, kind of like I'm standing tonight, and say, I'm perfectly helpless.
Right.
And then he'd turn around and say, I take every demon under my control.
Right.
Something took place. You can listen to it on the tape. Sometimes it's about 5 seconds of time, Brother Mora. But something supernatural takes place in those 5 seconds,
right,
where a man stands there and says, I'm perfectly helpless. And then when he turns around and says, I take every demon under my control. There's a big difference,
amen,
between perfectly helpless and being able to take every demon under your control.
Amen.
There'll be multiplied thousands of Pentecostal preachers that would stand there and would see him pray for little crippled children and them rise up out of wheelchairs.
Right.
See him pray for people that was given up on the death list with cancer. People that had tuberculosis and had tumors and little children with waterhead babies. Brother Siebert was telling us when we went there to what's the city he's in Ohio?
Dayton,
thank you. We went there to Dayton, Ohio earlier this year to fellowship with him, and he told us a story of how his dad had been in a meeting. And I can't remember the town exactly, Brother Hoover. Do you remember the town that they were in? He went to a meeting, and there was a little waterhead baby come up on the platform. If you've never seen a waterhead baby, I showed a picture of one here at the church a while back, and it doesn't even look like it could possibly be living. The head's so large, maybe 4 or 5 times the size of an adult head, and water would begin to get on the brain and would begin to cause the skull to swell in such a way, and many of those children only lived to be a few months old. But a prophet of God would come, and this woman would bring a child with a waterhead baby, and he would pray and rebuke the demon of sickness on the child, and he would tell them, bring the child back the next night and measure the child's head and tell me if you see a change.
Amen.
Night after night through the service, they would bring the child back on the platform and they would hold up the measuring tape, and it would go down 4 inches, and it'd go down 3 inches more and 4 inches more, until about 4 nights into the service, the child had a perfectly normal size head for its age. Men sat and saw that. Men sat in congregations and saw that. They saw the mighty works. They heard the voice of the prophet, the same voice that you do. Many of them got to shake his hand that you didn't get to do. But that's not what the angel was looking for. He was looking for, did you do what my prophet said? It was one thing to hear the voice of Moses. That would be wonderful. Pharaoh heard that. Jannes and Jambres heard that. But there was a group in Goshen that was doing more than just hearing. They were not just hearers of the word, but they were doers of the word. Jannes and Jambres could hear the same message, go forth to apply the blood to the doorpost, to the lintel and the door. They could hear the same word, but yet there was another group that did more than just hear it. They went out and they got the blood and they got the hyssop and they put it on the door, and the angel came through that night, and he only stopped not at the homes that had just heard the voice of Moses, but those that had applied what Moses had said to their homes. And he heard the voice of the blood speaking again in the days of the book of Exodus. In the days of Moses, the blood would speak again for the people. Now that was good and that was wonderful. But I want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 tonight and get the basis for our thought tonight. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Amen. I'm identified with that group. Amen. There's not a building or an address that I can point you to. There's not a role that you can have your name on except the role that's called up yonder that identifies you with this. But there's a general assembly of the church of the firstborn that I'm identified with.
Amen.
Which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
All right.
Now, the very first martyr, now when we think of Christianity, the very first martyr with Stephen that we spoke about briefly this morning, that they took stones and began to beat his head in. And yet in all that, he didn't stand there and say, God, come down and just consume him with fire, or God, avenge me of this. But he stood there and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they've done.
Right.
Don't hold it against their charge. He was echoing the words that he had heard on the cross.
Amen.
As Jesus gave his life. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And he stands there as the first Christian martyr. But the first martyr that was killed for his religion, the first martyr that was killed because of the revelation that God had given him, was many thousands of years before that. The first man killed because of his revelation was Abel.
Right.
And as he goes out to sacrifice that day, and maybe he just thought it was going to be another ordinary day, but there was men, or a man at least present, that was jealous of his revelation, and it made him so angry that he actually goes out and he kills his own brother because of jealousy over revelation.
Amen.
That spirit creeps right around in the message today. Some brothers won't have other brothers come preach for them because they feel like their ministry is more anointed than theirs and they're afraid it would hurt their church. I want to invite all the anointed men of God I can hear. I feel like it'd be a blessing.
Right.
But what is it? Our ego gets us to a spot where, oh my, if brother so-and-so came in and preached, my, they just wouldn't think I was a preacher no more at all, I guess, if they heard him preach. Oh, that's a bunch of baloney.
Amen.
That's a lie of the devil trying to keep gifts out of the church that God sends to
all
the
right.
people. Amen. We're not all the same. We don't have all the same gift. We don't have all the same delivery. We don't have all the same way of going about things. But God, it's God that's working all in all. Paul said, you know, I planted and Apollos watered, but it's God that gave the increase. We have diversities of gifts, diversities of ministries, but it's all the Holy Ghost doing it, if it's a real ministry. And so Cain began to be jealous of his brother's revelation, and Abel being the first martyr, Cain kills him because of the jealousy of his revelation. And God said, his blood is speaking to me from the ground, but his blood was speaking for vengeance. His blood was speaking to avenge him of what had taken place. But Paul comes along in the book of Hebrews, and he said, you know, that blood back there spoke, but this blood, we have a sprinkling of blood in this day that speaketh better things than that of the blood of Abel. I want to read you several different quotes from the token message, but not all in the same location. We want to look at some from Jeffersonville, some from Shreveport, some from Dallas, some from Bakersfield, California. I know Brother Layton and Sister Layton was there in Bakersfield, I think, when he preached to the token in 64. Was Brother Yarborough there as well? Were you in Bakersfield when he preached the token in 64? But Brother Layton and Sister Layton were there on their anniversary, or not their anniversary, their honeymoon. And they was at those meetings in Bakersfield. And I wonder, when they was there and heard him preach that, if they thought, you know, in about 50-something years, we're going to be sitting in New Albany, Indiana, hearing a man read quotes out of this sermon. I doubt they were thinking that then. They probably didn't think the Lord was going to tarry that long. But God knows what he's doing. The token in Jeff in 1963, he says, Paul tells us that the blood speaks. That anyone knows that the blood is actually itself can't speak. It's a chemistry. Is that right? How many knows that? All right. Now, this sounds like a contradiction. Paul tells us that the blood speaks. He says that anyone knows that the blood is actually itself can't speak. It's a chemistry. Is that right? How many knows that? Congregation says amen. But how many knows that the blood speaks? They say amen again. If you want to put that down, Genesis 4:10, God said, what about your brother? Said his blood cries from the earth against you. Amen. Is that right? His blood is a speaking. He said, hallelujah. God said, what about him? He said, am I my brother's keeper? Said his blood is crying out. His blood is a crying out. It's a token. It's a token that he had been killed. His blood was crying out against him. Now, if you get that in Genesis 4:10, then in Hebrews 12:24, start reading. In Hebrews 10:12 through 4, or 12:4 rather, he says, said the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than that of Abel. See, Abel, he was a righteous man. He died. He died innocent because he was in the way. Now, this doesn't mean that he got in Cain's way and he was in the way. You notice it's a capital W. He was in the way. He died innocent because he was in the way. He was in the way standing for the real revelation he had. He spoke, it cried out. The justice blood of Abel cried out against Cain. Amen. Now here he was standing in the way with the correct revelation, but yet someone comes along with a jealous spirit and kills him and makes him the first martyr because of his revelation. And this would repeat through history over and over and over again. And the blood would speak for those that were slain. He says, but the blood of Jesus Christ not only cried out, it redeemed. He says, amen. It speaketh better things. It makes you sons and daughters. It hides you from the wrath of God, see? The blood of Abel could not hide Cain, see? But the blood of Jesus can. Amen. So old Cain, come out today if you've been a persecutor against the word and says the days of miracles is past. This thing is all nonsense and things. It's crying out, you see? The blood of Jesus Christ cries out, but there is forgiveness in it if you'll just accept it.
Amen.
The blood of Abel could cry out against Cain, but it couldn't forgive Cain. The blood of Abel could cry out against Cain, but it couldn't redeem Cain. It couldn't redeem, it couldn't forgive Cain. It couldn't cleanse Cain. But there's a blood in our age that speaketh greater things than that of the blood of Abel.
Amen.
He says, wish we could stay a little while on that. See, blood speaketh better things. He says, believe for safety, then apply. This is a simple process. Believe for safety, then apply. This is what they did in the book of Exodus. The prophet spoke. He said, apply the token and the death angel will pass. They believed for safety and then they applied. wasn't just enough to believe for safety and say, well, bless God, the prophet of God said it. I believe it. He said this over here in 63, and he said this over here in 65, and he said this over here in 57. That's good, but have you done step two? Apply it.
All
right. Amen. It's good to say it, but if you don't apply it, they can walk around and say, bless God, we've got the revelation of this day. All we got to do is have the lintel and the doorpost cleansed with the blood, and we got to apply it with the hyssop, and they could walk around and say it in the parking lots and on the in McDonald's and Walmart and everywhere they went. And you go by their house, why haven't you applied it yet? Oh, we got plenty of time for that. I got to go straighten out somebody down here at McDonald's first and tell them how to do it.
Oh, my.
I got to go straighten out Brother So-and-so at his church. You know, I don't think he even believes it takes the blood. But have you applied it?
Come on.
Believe for safety, then apply, see? Believe for, here's what you want to believe for. See, you want your own safety. You believe for your safety, and then apply the token for the whole family.
Right.
See, you say, how can I do that? He says, claim it.
All right.
If it worked on you, then you and the word becomes one. Amen.
Amen.
He says, amen. See, it works for both of you. You and the word are one. Then apply it to your children. Apply it to your loved ones.
Amen.
So once you and the word have become one and you've applied it for yourself, you don't just sit there and say, well, thank you, Lord. This was good for me. I don't know about some of you. You know, when you go down to Sam's Club or Costco or some of these places, you know, you don't just go in there and just get you one little bowl like you do at a hotel. You know, if you go down for breakfast and they've got those single serve bowls of Frosted Flakes or Cheerios or whatever it is, and you go and you peel that paper back and it's about enough to feed your cat. But when you go down to Sam's or Costco or something, they've got family size. Everything's family size. And you come out of there trying to carry it like that. When on earth are we going to use all these Kleenexes? I don't know, but I got a good deal on it. We'll put them in the attic and use them later. Everything's family size. And when we got the token, it wasn't just for you, but it was family size.
Amen.
Amen. Once you become one with the word, then you apply it for your family too. He says, you and the word are one, then apply it to your children, apply it to your loved ones. He says, like Rahab did, she applied the token to her father, she applied it to her mother, she applied it to her brothers and sisters and got them all in. I was listening to God's Wrapped Gift on Saturday. Brother Bannon was talking about how the town Bethel got started, and Rahab's family was one of the ones that was one of the first families that settled there in Bethel, the house of God's bread. And it became Bethlehem, then the city of David. And it was the city that Jesus came to. And he was asking them, why would he choose little Bethlehem? Why not Shiloh? Or why not Jerusalem? Or why not one of the cities of refuge? Or some great city that was more renowned than little Bethlehem? But as he's talking, you know, he said Rahab's parents, they put her out on the street for financial gain. And you would think she'd have a little bit of bitterness in her heart, because they were the ones that really, that was the reason why her life got ruined. But when some messengers came through her area, she didn't say, I just want this for me. But she wanted to get everybody that she could in the house. Didn't matter what her family had did against her. Didn't matter what her discrepancies was, what her beefs was, what her scars was, what all of her past things was that she was holding back there, of little complexes and things. She said, you mean if I get everybody in this house, anybody that stays in here, the tokens applied to can go? They said, yes, sir. And she began to get on the phone and call her mommy and her daddy and her uncle and her grandpa and her grandma and her cousin, everybody she could. She said, listen, I'd like you to come over for a meal tomorrow around noon. You know, there's going to be some soldiers marching around the city, and I thought we would just come and gather at the house and have a little fellowship, if you don't mind stopping by. Be sure to get there right about noon or before, because I just think it'd be better if he was at my house. She didn't go through the list and say, you know, this one, they pulled a dirty deal on me, and, you know, I'll just let them perish in Jericho. She was concerned about her family. He says, you apply it. Say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I apply my token, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Oh, Holy Spirit that lives within me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now with your anointing upon me. He said, he'll do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I love that. Oh, Holy Spirit that's within me, go and catch my daughter. Go and catch my parents. Go and catch my uncle. Go and catch my son. Go and catch this loved one and that loved one. What is it? The same Holy Spirit that was able to catch you in your condition can go out there and catch your loved ones too and bring them in. Amen. You say, oh, I don't know. They've done a lot of things. Yeah, so did you. And he came and caught you. And the same grace that you was able to apply for yourself, that same token can be applied to your children, can be applied to your family. The same one that caught you, wherever you was at, can come and catch them.
Thank you, Lord.
The token again in Jeff. He says, get ready. Apply it. Believe it. Clean up. Let your children, let your family, let your loved ones see it in you. Oh, God help us. Amen. It's not just enough, let me say tonight, to wave a token book in their face. It's not just enough to try to shove a token tape down their throat and say, you need to listen to this and you need to hear it. They don't just need to hear it. They need to see it on display.
Amen.
Amen. It was one thing for them to hear. Moses said this and Moses said that. That was wonderful. But they needed to see it on display in their home.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of people around the message that have done a disservice to the message by just telling their children what it said, but they was never able to actually see the message on display in their homes. Oh, they might have been able to see their favorite television show on display, and they might have been able to see their favorite sports team, and they might have been able to see their favorite sitcom and their favorite comedian and their favorite, you know, activities and all that on display. But to really see the message on display in the home, oh my, it takes more than just saying, this is what we believe. If you really believe it, then you'll apply it.
Amen.
Believe for safety and then apply. It's a two-step process. He says, let your children, let your family, let your loved ones see it in you. The people there in Goshen, they needed to hear more than just the formula. They needed to hear more than just the doctrine. They needed to hear more than just the mechanics of it. They needed to see the dynamics on display.
Amen.
At their home, so that when the angel passed by, he could hear the voice of the blood crying to them.
Amen.
Saying, I'll pass over you. He says, let them see it in you. That's right, it'll take effect. Yes, sir. Then apply the token in prayer with consideration, with believing. Apply it with such love and so forth till you know it's going to take. It's going to take place. That's all. He says, apply it in confidence, believing it's going to help. When you talk to that child, when you talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to this loved one, believe that it's going to help. Remember, we looked at it this morning. It's not enough just to hope so. Oh, my, I sure hope they've got it. I sure hope God goes after them. I sure hope I've applied the token correctly. You go after them and apply it, and you have confidence that it's going to work.
Amen.
Believe that it's going to help. He said, just stand there and say, Lord, I've claimed them. They're mine. I'm getting them for you, Lord. Apply it and create an atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into it. See, oh, you are. If you got the token, you create a spirit around you, a power that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. If you've really got the token on display, it won't take people. You won't have to put up pictures of Brother Branham and have your Bible sitting on your desk and have message books open all over your desk at work for people to recognize you're a Christian. If you've got the token really on display, they can get around you for about 5 minutes and recognize there's something different about that guy. There's something different about them. They don't talk the way the rest of the employees talk. They don't act the way the rest of the other employees act. They don't have their neck on somebody's throat trying to climb the ladder like the rest of the employees. They don't pull little shady deals. There's something different about this person. They'll recognize that you're a Christian when you've got the token on display. And in fact, it would do better. You know, I'm not against those other things. I'm not against having your Bible on your desk at work. I hope you do. That's wonderful. But that'll bring just a reproach if you do that and don't have the message or the token on display in your life. That'll just bring a reproach that, oh, I thought you was a Christian, but I see you do this and I see you do that. But when you have the token on display, living the life through you, they can recognize whether you pack your Bible under your arm or not. They'll recognize real fast what you are. He says they love for you to say something to them. They believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. See, that's it. I've worked on jobs where people have come and asked me And I didn't think they was as much Christian as my Jack Russell pug mixed dog out in the backyard is. I didn't think there was any bit of Christian more than anything would come and ask me, what do you believe about this? What do you think we should do about this? What's the Bible say about this? What's the Bible say about that? I think, why on earth are they asking me? I didn't think they cared nothing about God more than a goat. But they saw something on display, and they wanted to know what I was going to say about it. They love for you to say something to them. He said, they believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. Why? They recognize something is on display in your life.
Amen.
He says, see, that's it. Apply the token. Then walk with it. Claim your household. You must do it now. This is evening time. Now, you've been listening a long time. All mine. We've been listening a long time. Some of us have been listening since we was 2 and 3 years old. Some of us have been listening for 40 and 50 years. He said, you've been listening a long time. Now this is the evening time. It's applying time now.
Amen.
It's good to listen, but if all you're doing is listening, that's not going to get you in a rapture. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God, but it doesn't just stop at hearing. It produces, faith produces something in you that it begins to express. Remember, Brother Bannon said, works is faith expressed, and it begins to express something through you that it's not just enough to hear only, but it's the doers of the word that are justified. Not just the hearers only, but the doers of the word. He said, you've been listening for a long time, but now it's applying time now. He says, the wrath will strike one of these days. It might be too late then. See, apply the token with confidence. Again, the token in Bakersfield, California, 1964. He says, the blood speaks. How can the chemistry speak? It's the life that's in the blood that does the speaking. There's no lips. There's no tongue. There's no vocal cord in the chemistry of the blood. It's not the actual tangible blood that if you was to slit your arm and it would run out on the floor, that's what's speaking. It's not the chemistry of the blood, but it's the life that's in the blood, he says, Amen. That does the speaking. The soul that was in Cain that cried out, or in Abel, it was the life that was in Christ that cries out better things than any. It speaks, and it speaks loud. It's the Holy Spirit. It speaks plain. Oh my, when the Holy Spirit speaks something, he speaks it plain. He doesn't leave a whole lot of wondering what about this and what about that. When he speaks, it's direct and it's plain, and we can look at it and have a place to step our foot on and have a solid foundation, just like he did with Moses. He didn't just say, go build a boat. He gave him dimensions. He spoke, and he spoke plainly.
Amen.
It tells us what the time is here. When we said it, where it said it, would say it. And then when we see it come back and identify what it said, there is nothing else left but to believe it, that's right, to receive it. Again, the token in Shreveport, 1963. The blood is speaking. Then the blood has got a voice. And the voice of the blood is the word. He says, hallelujah. That's what makes it, whether it's right or wrong. The word is identified by the voice of the blood. The voice of the blood is the Holy Ghost that brings life. It is life, and it brings life to the word and quickens it. Amen, 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 he says. Sure, the blood speaks. It speaks a better thing.
Amen.
The Old Testament, the blood spoke of guilt. In the New Testament, it speaks of redemption.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, it spoke of death and sorrow. In the New Testament, it speaks of resurrection and life. It speaks of healing. It speaks of joy. It speaks of power. It
Hallelujah.
Speaks of life. It speaks of heaven.
Amen.
And that same blood that was shed upon the ground that called out after his dead brother, or called out after his brother that had killed him, the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of our sins and speaks peace and resurrection and power and life and healing and all the redemptive blessings that the blood was shed for. It speaks for us. Certainly the blood speaks. He says, oh my. The blood is still speaking in this age.
Amen.
It's not so much the blood that's flowing through your veins, it's the blood that's flowing through your soul. Amen. It wasn't the people's blood. It wasn't so much that it was just even that goat's blood or lamb's blood that they applied on the door down through there. It was the obedience to the word that they came in, that the blood began to speak forth and to say, "There, I'm going to pass over you." There's something about it today, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not so much a tangible blood. It's not so much, Brother Bram said, that it's gone from blood to word in this day. Amen. It's not just, it's not the bleeding body of Jesus sitting on a throne some dripping somewhere. He said, but it's the bleeding word. Amen. Amen. The word that is crying out, the word that is speaking, the life that's in the word, the life of the Holy Spirit that's in the person crying out, the blood has been applied.
Amen.
And it speaks better things than the blood of Abel. It speaks better things than the Old Testament could speak. The Old Testament, the blood would say, I've put a Band-Aid on them temporarily. They're good to go till the next sacrifice. They're good to go to the next Passover. They're good to go to this, that, or the other. But they had, there was a continual sacrifice and a continual requirement for blood. But when Jesus came and shed his blood, it was once and for all.
Amen.
And his blood still speaks.
Hallelujah.
It speaks for the believer. It speaks for an atonement. It speaks for your mercy. It speaks for your grace. It speaks for your remission of sins. Even when you didn't deserve it, he's not listening to your voice. He's listening to the voice of the blood that's been shed for you.
Hallelujah.
The token again, 1964 in Dallas. We find out the blood does speak. It speaks in your behalf. The life that's in the blood, the life that's in you speaks from the shed blood. Amen. He said, oh, brother, I wish everybody could see that, see? If you can see what it is, it's the life that's in you, see? That blood is identifying you with it. It's the token.
Amen.
The token was more than the voice of a man. It was more than a book or a tape. It's a life.
Amen.
It's a baptism. It's the Holy Spirit coming and changing your mortal being. From what you used to be to what you are now. Now it took a voice in each age to call you up to that. But don't stop at the voice and say, I've heard the voice. That's good. But have you applied it?
All right.
Has the blood been applied? Has the token been applied for you? The token for that age was lamb's blood over the doorpost. But the token for our age is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said it's the life that's in you. See, the blood is identifying you with it. It's the token that what it is, the blood was shed for you. You've accepted and the life has come into you. You have the token. That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh my, again, in Future Home, 1964, he says Satan will be taken from the earth just exactly like Satan was taken from you. Satan cannot bother, he says, or he can tempt, but he cannot get a born-again Christian.
Amen.
For God, from the foundation of the world, foresaw him and sent Jesus to redeem him, and the blood speaks for him.
Hallelujah.
How can he sin when it can't be seen even by God?
All right.
He don't even, the only things he hears is your voice. He sees your representation. Amen. That is true, see?
Hallelujah.
Amen. When he looks, he doesn't see your faults. He doesn't see your failures. He doesn't even see your good works. He doesn't see your self-righteousness. He doesn't see how hard that you tried to do all these works and all these different things. When he looks, he's looking just as he did when he came down through Goshen on that dark night in the land of Egypt. And he began to go by house, by house, by house. And maybe there was some in there sitting discussing what the prophet had said. Maybe there was some that was writing some of the things that he had said, or they was reading the things that had been documented that he had said. But that wasn't enough. He wasn't looking just for that. He was looking for the blood being applied on the doorpost. And as he came down through the land of Goshen that night, he wasn't just looking for hearers, but he was looking for doers of the word of God.
Amen.
And he comes down through there and screams begin to cry out in Goshen and in the land of Egypt and everywhere that the blood wasn't applied over the door. But he would come to one house and he would pull back quickly and he would say, I can't go in there because they've met the requirement.
Amen.
It didn't matter how many works that guy had done. Didn't matter how good of an Israelite he was. Didn't matter how bad of an Israelite he was. Don't think that I'm making grace a disgrace tonight. I believe if we truly love God that we'll live for him. But God's not looking at your works tonight. He didn't save you because you was better than somebody else. He didn't save you because you was smarter than somebody else. He didn't save you because you listened to more tapes or read more books than somebody else, or because you memorized more scriptures in your Bible than somebody else. But he's looking at the shed blood that he shed for you, whether it's applied or not, on your home, on your life, on your family. Is it on display tonight? And he would come down through there and he would look, and if there was the blood applied and they had met the standard for the atonement of their day, the voice of the blood cried out to him, pass over this house.
Yes.
And then when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, and we was able to enter into the kingdom of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as we've looked at it over the last few weeks, when God comes for a bride, some say he's looking for this group, some say he's looking for that group, always looking for brothers that are teaching a specific doctrine, or he's looking for brothers that are running their services a certain way. I'll tell you what he's looking for. He's looking for, is the blood applied or is it not?
All right.
Hey man, you can't take me to a specific doctrine that you have to figure out a certain way for him to come and get you. No. You can't take me to a certain theology or a certain way of running your church services or a certain style of singing or a certain style of worship, or you've got to have this many preachers or you got to have this many tapes or you got to have this many songs or any type of works that you can point me to say what he's looking for when he comes back. But I can tell you one thing that he's looking for is the token applied upon the life. Is the token applied? Is it being on display in the home, in the family, in the individual? Is the token on display? We argue and bicker back and forth about theology and terminology and doctrinology and all kinds of ologies. And he's not looking for any of that. We say that, bless God, this guy's not going to be there because he don't see this like I do. And bless God, he's not going to see it because doesn't worship like I do. God's not coming back for him. If he's got the Holy Ghost, God is coming back for him, whether you agree with him or not.
Amen.
He's looking for the blood. Brother Branham said when he was working there in California, or in Arizona rather, and they would bring those Herefords through there, he said they wasn't looking at the brand to see if it was a triple O brand or a double T or whatever. They had all kinds of different brands and different types of ranches, and he said they wasn't looking for the Circle R or all these different brands. He said the ranger didn't even look at that to see whether they belonged to Church of the Open Door or this church or that church, or whether they was following this certain doctrine or this certain personality or this certain person. He said they was looking for the blood tag. And I want to say tonight, that is what Jesus Christ is coming for. He doesn't care so much where you attend. He doesn't care so much all your good works and all your efforts and all that you try to run and run and run and do. You better make sure the blood tag is applied.
Amen.
There'll be many that say, Lord, didn't I do this and didn't I do that? He'll say, I didn't even know you. It wasn't because they weren't sincere. It was because they didn't apply what the prophet had said. He said the days of listening, he said we've listened for a long time. That's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not planning on stopping to listen. I just want to make sure I'm applying what I'm listening to. Amen. The days of just listening, it's too late for that. You better listen and apply. Two-step process. Believe what you've heard and apply it. I want to read this again from Future Home. Satan will be taken from the earth just exactly like Satan was taken from you. Satan cannot bother, he can tempt, but he cannot get a born again Christian. For God from the foundation of the world foresaw him and sent Jesus to redeem him, and the blood speaks for him. How can he sin when it can't be seen even by God? He's not listening for your mistake. He's not listening for, oh Lord, I slipped and fell again today. Help me, Lord. He wants you to do that. He wants you to confess. But that's not what he's looking at. That's not what he's listening to. He's listening as the voice of the blood speaks and says, Father, forgive them. As the blood speaks and says, they're mine. I chose them. I foresaw them. I came to redeem them. I elected them. My blood is speaking for them. My blood is a representation for them that they've applied the blood. They haven't just heard about it. They haven't just been taught about it, but they've actually applied it to their own life, and my blood is speaking for them. Brother Branham said that great evangelist, when he got over to heaven, he got up there and he said he heard a voice speak and say, when you was on earth, did you ever tell a lie? He said, I didn't ever tell no lies down on earth. But he said, in the presence of that light, he said, I began to recognize there was little things, little white lies and things that I'd done that just wasn't right. He said, the voice spoke again and said, did you ever steal when you was on earth? He said, I thought, oh my, I never stole from nobody. But he said, in the presence of that light, you can imagine like Isaiah thought he was a pretty good guy until he got in the presence of that light. And he said, oh, help me, Lord. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among men of unclean lips. He said, when I got in the presence of that light, I recognized I'd done some business deals that wasn't just exactly right. And he said, was you perfect when you was on earth? He said, no, sir, I guess I wasn't. He said he began to look through the books and he couldn't find his name. He said, go and you're just going to have to depart. And he said, about that time, Jesus stepped up and he said, wait a minute. He said, when Daniel Greenfield was on earth, Daniel Greenfield stood for me. And now my blood is going to speak for Daniel Greenfield. Amen. He didn't deserve it. He wasn't good enough. He wasn't righteous enough. He wasn't perfect enough. But my blood is speaking for Daniel Greenfield. I hope you can read your name in there tonight. Amen. When you were on earth, you may not have been good enough. You may not have been righteous enough. None of us could be. There was none worthy enough. There was none righteous enough. John began to weep because in heaven and earth and under earth and under the seas, there was none that was worthy. But he said, then I saw a lamb that had been slain before the foundation of the world. And that blood was crying out for the redemption of those that he came to redeem. The blood was speaking even before the physical blood of Jesus Christ had been shed. And I know there's brothers around the message that argue whether they say, well, that was one blood before the foundation of the world and another blood after Calvary. It was all the same lamb.
Amen.
Amen. You cut me in this arm, it's the same blood as this arm. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And before he was even physically slain on the cross, his blood was still crying out for you.
Amen.
His blood was still protecting you before you even was formed on the face of the earth. Amen. He was watching over you and your great, 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 great grandfather, getting this one with that one and protecting their life till they could have your great, great grandfather and protecting their life till you could have they could have their great grandfather. And on down, his blood was protecting and crying out and calling for you before you was even imagined in your parents' mind.
Right.
He knew you. And he knew where you would be, and he knew you couldn't be righteous enough, but his blood was already speaking for you before the foundation of the world.
Glory.
He said, God from the foundation of the world foresaw him and sent Jesus to redeem him, and the blood speaks for him. How can he sin when it can't be seen even by God? The only thing he hears is your voice. I don't believe he's talking about your physical voice. He hears your voice of representation, the voice of the blood that's speaking for you. He said he sees your representation. Amen. That is true, see. Amen. There were many times that my own voice, when I spoke, could have spoke back to me at the day of judgment and condemned me. But he wasn't listening so much to the vocal cords of Nathan Bryant. He was listening to the voice of the blood that was representation for me. Amen. That was standing for me, that was crying out for me before I could ever even imagine being worthy. None of us is worthy. But we're worthy because he said, I chose you. We're worthy because he said, I choose not to look at you, but I choose to let my blood speak for you. Amen. God help us tonight. If you haven't applied the token, amen, I would encourage you tonight. Get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Believe. Apply. Then believe for your family. Amen. People try to overcomplicate it. It's such a simple process. If you haven't ever heard about it, Acts 2 and 38 explains it very simply.
Amen.
Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not a hope so, it's not a think so, it's not a maybe, it's a promise, not only unto those back there in Jerusalem, but unto you and to your children and all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. It's a token. It's a life. It's the blood that's crying forth for us. Even when we didn't deserve it, he was speaking, saying, that's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. The voice of the blood still speaks tonight.
Amen.
Amen. If the musicians would come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for your prayers. Prayer changes things.
Amen.
Amen. I figure I'll squeak it out if I have to, but I'm going to make the devil mad one way or another.
All right.
Amen. As long as I got enough voice to make him mad, we'll try to send him home mad every service. Amen. Some people go home mad no matter what you do. They're going to go home mad. They've already come with their mind made up. They're going to go home mad. But I hope you don't go home mad tonight. But I hope the devil goes home real mad tonight.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Aren't you thankful tonight that the blood still speaks?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Help me sing this tonight. Oh, God spoke to Moses, told him what to say to the children of Israel in Goshen that day. Slay the lamb, take the blood. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that the blood still speaks. Lord, that the blood was speaking for us, Lord, before we even had any choice in it. Lord, how much more is the blood speaking now, Father, that it's our desire that you would cleanse us and that you would atone for us, Father. Lord, may the blood continue to speak for us. Lord, may you look at us, Lord, not through our mistakes and our failures, but may you look through your own blood and see us, Lord, as your righteousness. Lord, be with each one here tonight. Lord, no doubt many of us, Father, Lord, have loved ones that we'd like to see saved, loved ones that we'd like to see under this token. Father, may we claim it tonight. Oh, Lord, may it not just be a hope so. May it not just be a maybe so. But, Father, may we step forth in faith and believe it and accept it and apply it tonight. Lord, in faith. Lord, that you're more than able, that you that could call to us when we was in sin, that you could call to us when we were wayward, but yet your blood was still speaking for us. Lord, may it go out there and catch our loved ones and bring them back in with the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. May the blood speak for them tonight as well, Lord. May we apply it. May it be, Lord, on display, Lord, in our homes and on our jobs and at our schools, everywhere we go, Father. May the life of the token be on display where others could see and begin to get thirsty and hungry for more of God in their life, Father. Lord, may we not just talk about it, but may we apply it with all the faith that we have, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, Lord, and accept it by faith. Oh, thank you, Father. You believe him tonight? Amen. We've got enough word here tonight with the quotes and the scriptures that we read. It ought to give you a peace of mind. You can go out of here and rejoice. Say, I'm not worried anymore. I'm not worried about my loved ones. The word is going to bring them right in. The token is going to draw them. It's going to go out and it's going to bring them in. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I had loved ones that was praying for me one time and it came and got me. So the same faith that brought me in can bring them in. Oh my, we're a blessed people tonight. We're not a people without hope. We're not a people without faith. We've got the shout of the king is in the camp. Amen. We've seen God in the power of his resurrection. It ought to do something for us. Amen. This is more than idle words. This is more than just a story or some fable of something gone by. As Brother Furman sang tonight, it's the Holy Ghost in fire, and it's still keeping us alive. It's still changing lives. It's still healing the sick. It's still raising the dead. It's still giving victory over the devil. We're a blessed people tonight. Oh, let's sing it together again tonight. Oh, let the death angel pass. God's bride saved at last. In this token he gave that he would be saved. Oh, hallelujah and glory to God.
Tonight it's 354.
Well, I have a source of strength when I am weak that takes me through when life. Bye. They were made there just for me. Thank you, Lord, for all my sin, all my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I can claim those precious blood stains.
God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. We, Sister Tina, she came up and she wanted to testify. She'd come up a while back for some pain in her knee that she'd been having and different problems in that manner, and said that God touched her and just completely healed her of it. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And then she was having a severe nosebleed the other night, said it just bled and bled and bled. And finally she got sick of fooling with it and got her Bible and read Ezekiel 16:6 and began to pray and ask God to touch her, and he just stopped the bleeding instantly.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we still serve a prayer answering God. Amen. I just felt led tonight. You know, there's some that we've been praying for quite a while. Brother Mike Eplin, facing the doctors say that he's got cancer and they don't give him a whole lot of hope. But we have a source that Brother Furman was singing about. And Brother Lauren, he's had surgery after surgery after surgery and just had a lot of different complications in his knees and his shoulder and different things. And Sister Patty Ard, she's had multiple surgeries and things for her dialysis, the different ports and the different things that she's gone through, multiple surgeries here recently. And I know we've had a lot of prayer requests for them, but I believe the blood of Jesus Christ is still speaking for them tonight. Amen. The blood doesn't only speak for our salvation and for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it was a double atonement, Brother Branham said, it also for our healing. Amen. So I just want us to agree together as a group of believers tonight. Why don't you lay your hands over on somebody, brothers, if you'd come, and let's just agree together for these that we've been praying for, that the blood will still speak for them tonight and that testimonies will come forth of his healing power for them. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we agree together as a body of believers tonight, Lord, Satan has tried to do all that he can to come in and upset and cause physical problems for our brothers and our sister, Lord. And we just cry out tonight, Lord, on their behalf. And we agree together as members of the Bride of Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, it's not that we have power, but Lord, we have authority by the word, Father. That your word said it's not our power, it's not by might, Father, but it's by your spirit, Lord, that we speak these things. Lord, I ask that you'd go to Brother Mike Eplin tonight, Father, laying there with cancerous tumors and the doctors saying that he'll never be healed, but he believes that there's a higher source, Lord, that he doesn't accept the negative report that they bring in, but he accepts the report of the Holy Spirit coming back that by your stripes, he's already healed, Father. May the blood speak for him tonight, Lord, and grant healing. Lord, not only a partial healing, not only the symptoms, but Lord, may you come in and heal the very cause, Lord, and just move on the scene for our brother. Lord, for Brother Lauren facing these surgeries with his shoulder and his knee, and Lord, trying to go through rehab, Lord, from the injuries and the complications, Father, may you go and touch our brother. Lord, may you encourage him, Lord. Just give him strength physically and spiritually and emotionally, Father. Touch him and heal his body, I pray, Lord, tonight. May the blood still speak for him tonight from the throne, Lord. May you go to him and touch him just now in his hospital bed, I pray. Lord, be with Sister Patty, Lord. She's in the service tonight, Lord, but because of just physical weariness and pain, had to walk out, Father. But I ask that you'd go to her just now, Lord, whether or not she's in the sound of my voice, Lord, to be able to hear. Lord, the Holy Spirit hears tonight. Lord, may the blood speak for our sister. May you go to her, Lord. Heal her kidneys, Lord, Father. Heal every aspect, Father, of a sickness in her body, Lord. Every complication, Lord, every symptom, may you come on the scene. And may the blood still speak tonight for our sister that was shed for her 2,000 years ago. We accept it by faith. Lord, we don't just believe it, but we apply it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may miracles come forth from it. We agree together and believe together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's sing this together before we go. Amen. I know Brother Furman already sang it, but I'm going to sing it too. Oh, it's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's that Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, I feel it in my soul. Me alive. Well, I feel him in my soul. price of the blood. It is keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, the blood still speaks, and it's keeping me alive. His Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, he's here tonight. He is keeping me alive. Oh, he's keeping me alive. He's keeping me alive. Oh, he's here tonight, and he's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, he promised in his word that he would provide, that he would provide, oh, that he would provide. Well, he promised in his word that the token was applied. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Well, we don't just believe, oh, but we will apply. Oh, yes, we will apply. Oh, we will apply. No, the bride just don't believe, but she will apply. For the Holy Ghost is keeping her alive. Yes, it's that Holy Ghost of fire. It'll keep you alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost of fire. It's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside. Gonna study for the Holy Lord. No, I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't yes, let's sing it as we go. Steady war no more. Steady war no more. Ain't got a steady war no more. Ain't got a steady war no more. Oh, steady war no more. Ain't got a steady war no more. Then I'll meet my Prince of Peace. Peace down by the riverside.